hello, dear sisters, and welcome back to our study in Christian womanhood. My question for you today is this: what defines your identity? The definition of identity being the distinguishing character or personality of an individual. Well, for those of us who have truly been saved, born again, we have a new identity in Christ Jesus. And in order for us to truly understand this truth, I've invited our sister in the Lord, Tiffany, to share her personal testimony of how the truth of knowing that our new identity is in Christ has done a mighty work in her heart. But first, let's come before the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for bringing us here together to share your word, your will, and your ways. Lord, I pray that the truth of knowing that we have a new identity in Christ Jesus will do a mighty work in all of our hearts today and will help to remind us of who we truly are in him. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.
Amen.
So, in our previous time together, we learned how so many avoid coming to the cross. But for those who have truly received the miracle of a heart change, where the Lord has changed our hearts from hearts of stone to hearts of flesh, and have, by his mercy and grace, given us the heart to want to repent of our sins and surrender our lives at the cross, knowing that Jesus came to take the wrath that we deserve for our sins and the punishment that we deserve and pay the price on the cross so that we could be set free of sin and washed clean. Knowing all the while that he is also the risen Savior who conquered sin and death on the cross so that we could have eternal life in him.
Amen.
So during this time, we also learned that through this miracle, the Lord gives us new life as new creations born again and calls us to die to ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with this new life that he's given us, he's also given us a new identity. We are no longer slaves to sin as we've been set free. And the truth is, in Romans 6:6, the God's word tells us, "For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin." And we've also have learned that we have become children of God.
Amen.
We're no longer children of the enemy, in bondage to sin and darkness, but we've been brought into the light.
Amen.
And adopted by the Father as children of God. And we've also been set apart, chosen by God to live as holy sacrifices. And Tiffany, you know, recently I had a situation that occurred personally in my life just within the past couple of weeks that really reminded me of some really bad choices, definitely some sin of selfishness that hurt other people. And I really was not remembering what God's word says.
Mm-hmm.
The enemy was using the situation to accuse me, to tell me that I wasn't necessarily a good mother or a good wife or a good friend in the past. And I really needed to be reminded.
Amen.
of God's truth, that I have been set free of that sinful past. And He has put His Spirit in me and has given me a new heart to live out the light of Christ to others now. And this is all by His grace and His mercy.
And all for His glory.
And all for His glory.
Amen.
And so, Tiffany, I know that you have so much to share of how this truth has really done a huge work in your heart, too. So,
Thank you so much. And this is something that, thank you for this time. And hi, guys. I completely understand what you've been going through, because that's what the enemy does to us. Where in our flesh, in the world, and at the hands of the enemy, we are reminded of our mistakes, of our failures, of our sin, of our guiltiness. I mean, let's face it, before Christ, we are dead in our sin.
That's right.
We see it on the sick man gospel. We read it in Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. We're dead in our sins and our transgressions. That is true, unless we've been captured by grace.
Yeah.
We don't have any hope if it's not in Jesus. And what I love about the Word of God, in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, we know all Scripture is God-breathed, and it's profitable for teaching, preaching, and an abundance of growing the people in His Word. And what you want to do, what I need to do desperately, is rely on that Word. God's Word is eternal. It never changes. It is true today. It was true when it was written. It'll be true unless, 10,000 years from now, if Jesus hasn't come back yet, it's always true, because He is the truth. The world, the flesh, and the devil, we have to be on guard against. That's why we're given the armor of God, the full armor of God from Ephesians 6. What the world was to tell me, now I'll give you a brief sum up of my testimony. I was covered in about as much black sin as you could possibly be covered in. I won't go into specifics, because it doesn't matter the flavor of sin. I was a sinner. I was lost. I was hopeless and did not have any value on myself. The world had told me I was worthless. The world had, the enemy had claimed me as a lost cause, as an outcast, as a reject. Nobody wanted me. Nobody would have me. And this is what I was believing. This is the word I had put in my heart. And I was living out that lie, because we know that's not how God sees us. Even before, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We know that Christ loved us so much that He came down from heaven so that whosoever, I am a whosoever. There is nothing valuable about me except what I can share about Jesus and what I love, what He has done. Because the world will categorically tell you, you don't have a purpose. You know, you're worthless. Well, I know in God's Word, if you go into Romans 1:7, Acts 26, 1 through 6, 1 Peter 4, 10, and 2 Timothy 2, 3, I know where the world would have labeled me all sorts of horrible things, worthless, purposeless, valueless. Those verses tell me that I am now a saint, a servant, a steward, and a soldier.
Amen.
I have a purpose. I have an identity in Christ that cannot be taken away from me. He has saved me from my sin. Not because of anything about me that's good, but because about everything about Him that's perfect and wonderful. It's His love, not my ability to love. And that's what I absolutely adore sharing, is because we know the story of the woman at the well.
Yes.
One of my favorite, it's in my heart.
My favorite too.
I will tell you, I so relate to that woman. Here I was an outcast. I won't lie. I was a sinner, guilty of, I would just deserve death. And Jesus went out of His way to come and find me. And He rescued me and He saved me. And now, just like that woman at the well, when she goes running back into the village, I want to tell as many people as I possibly can about the man that I met, who is the Savior.
And when you look at the woman at the well, there's no shame.
No shame. No, my shame. He died
the
for my sin and
gone.
My shame. Yeah, that's what I love. Jesus, He doesn't just die for our sin. We read in the Bible, He died for our sin and our shame. So my shame has been put to death.
Yeah.
And I have no power to resurrect it. My heart, coming through that cross, I am a new creation. And yes, these things happen, but I don't have to be ashamed of them. I can say, see how great a Christ I have.
Yes.
See the Savior who loves me. That this train wreck that I had before the cross, this disaster, it doesn't matter, because what I want to share with you is what He can do for a sinner, a wretch like me. He can do for you, and He will do for you. And talk about and share with people that I'm no longer in darkness, where I was in nothing but darkness. Now in Ephesians 5:8, I'm told I am no longer in darkness. And that is the truth. It's His glorious light that we are in. It is His glorious light that is in us, and the Holy Spirit who lives in us now. I know that through Jesus, I'm victorious. In whatever battle I may be facing, whatever struggle is going on, I have victory in Jesus. And that gives me such joy and peace in some really terrible situations. I mean, some really horrible things are going to happen to us. We're in a broken world. The world is broken. It's groaning. We read about the whole earth groans like it's in labor. We're anticipating the return of our Lord. And until then, we're going to struggle. I still have hope, because I know that Christ is in me, and He has overcome the world.
Praise God.
Amen. Because in my own power, I could not. In my own power, the world overcame me.
Yeah.
And I know that now, where I had been homeless, that I'm a citizen of heaven. And I mean, I have a home in heaven. He's gone to prepare a place for me. He's gone to prepare a place for whosoever might believe in Him. I love that word. So when we get that, I love it. You mentioned the verse in Isaiah, our hearts of stone into hearts of flesh. That's what happens.
Yeah.
We go from being very self-involved, very dead in our sin, very cold, very hard, very worldly, to this beating, living heart that wants to share the truth with people, just because Jesus told us we were to go and tell. And that's the Great Commission. That's our fuel. That Holy Spirit fire that He puts in us. How could we possibly not want to share this with the world?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. But see, if we listen to our old identity, if we listen to those around us who would tell us who we were, and accept their word over the authoritative word of God, we have basically taken the word of the world and moved the word of God away.
Mm.
And this is what I had done. I believed the word of the world, which is wise.
Right.
The word of God is what we need. We need it desperately every day, sometimes minute to minute in my case.
I mean, exactly.
If I forget to read my devotional one day, I notice. I can notice before the day is over. I am already spinning. I'm believing things I shouldn't believe. I'm listening to things I shouldn't listen. Things are getting time in my head that have no place there, because Jesus says so. And He's worthy. There is nothing that has died in me that I miss. Because it's been filled with Him. It's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives within me. And when people come and try to remind me of who I was, I don't have to hide from that. I can say, amen, that is who I was. But let me tell you about who I am now. Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you what He has done for me. I know He can do for you. And it literally brings us to that point where, when you have a glorious future, like we're told we have in Romans 8, we're told we have a glorious future. Today is hard. So many places, so many ways for so many people. But today, unless we get called home, we know that there is still a glorious future in Christ, with Him in heaven. This is not permanent for us, and it's not permanent for any of us. We have a hope in Christ that cannot be taken. Because He tells us not one that's been given to me, well, it will not be taken away from Him.
No.
There's nothing that I can't do it. I mean, not that I'd want to, but sometimes I act that way. You know, sometimes that sin, I forget.
Yeah.
But praise God, He is so good to remind me and discipline me and sanctify me. Even when I fall, praise God, He's given me the gift of repentance I can come back and say, forgive me, Father, I've sinned. And please take this away. I don't want it. I don't want it. I want you. And it gives me that up because he's told me I'm his child. He's told me I'm beloved. He's told me I'm precious. He's shown me these things. He didn't just tell me these things. This is the hope that we have in Christ. It's not about who we were before him.
Mm.
That person died.
Amen.
They're dead.
Yeah.
I have no power to bring them back to life. Why would I want to? What Christ has brought to life in me is him. And that's the person who can stand there and say, yeah, you're right. I was that person. I'm not now.
Amen.
And so thank you for inviting me here.
Oh, you're welcome. We are just so grateful to have you with us.
Oh, it's a blessing.
And, you know, it reminds me where, you know, the word tells us that our sins are now hidden in Christ.
Amen.
Hidden. And so if you're someone out there who feels like you're too far gone to be saved or you're not worthy enough. Mm. You know, when I was at that point where I really thought that I wasn't worthy enough to be saved, I read in God's word where Jesus tells us that he didn't come to save the righteous, but the sinners.
Amen.
He came to heal the sick.
Amen.
And we were sick. We were dead in our sins. And I also wanted to share with you the beautiful truth of Colossians 1:21-22, where God's word tells us, and although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, that was our old character, mm-hmm. our old personality. Yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death. He was the one who died for us.
Amen.
In order to present you, sinner, one who has now been saved, before him, holy and blameless and beyond reproach.
Amen.
And it had nothing to do with our good deeds, nothing to do with who we were.
All about who he is,
the great love that he has for us.
Amen.
So sisters, we just want to let you know that we continue to pray for all of you. And Tiffany, I'm going to ask if you could pray us out.
I would love to.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Thank you for sending your son Jesus Christ to die on the cross, so that whosoever might believe on him might not perish, but would have everlasting life. Thank you for his resurrection and his ascension, Father. We have hope in him, and thank you for that hope. Thank you for being with us today. And Father, I pray that wherever this is being heard, for that sister who is hurting, for that sister who has let the lies of the world overshadow the word that you have given us, that you would shine your light into her heart. Open her eyes to your truth about who you say she is. Lord God, remind us every day we are loved by you as your children. Do not allow the enemy to gain a foothold with his lies. And let us continue to go out and seek those who might be yours, Father, with your truth. Remind us of your love. And hold us eternally in your hand, Father, we ask. Be with us each day. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen.
Amen.